Oh, if you would, come and preach the message the Lord gave to you.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yes, let me clear out my stuff. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing to be here with everyone. I do have a handout, and if Silas and Lacey, if you could hand those out. I don't know if we have enough, maybe we need to make more, but if you would like a handout, then raise your hand and they'll get those out to you. Maybe families could share or something like that. But we're going to be in the book of Philippians this morning, Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, and then also Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. Luke, we're just using this as a reference point. So Luke 18 and verse number 1, but the main text is Philippians 4. So as they're handing those out, I just want to say thank you to this church for being faithful. Amen. Thank you, everyone, that you're here today. You're being faithful to the Lord and faithful during this time without Pastor Tim here. And what a blessing to know that he's coming back. I'm excited for that. And my family loves spending time with their family. And I'm just excited to get them back in the Pacific Northwest. Amen. So Luke chapter 18, and let's read verse number 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, so this is Jesus speaking, that men ought always to pray and to not to faint. So men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then there's something that happens when you do that, when you live your life that way. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So what a blessing to read those things together. Let's pray this morning. Father, I'm thankful for your word. God, I'm just very thankful that you saved my soul. Lord, that you showed me that my life was empty and meaningless and that I was living a selfish lifestyle, living for myself. You showed me that I needed to trust Christ as my Savior, and what a change you have made in my heart, Lord. So I'm thankful for my family. Thank you for your Bible. Thank you for this church and our church in Olympia, Lord. I thank you that your Holy Spirit works in our life, and I'm very grateful that we have access to you through prayer. And it's because of Jesus that we have this access. And Lord, it's because of him that we can be saved, we can be born again. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us this morning. I pray that you'd help me with my thoughts and with my words. And God, give us a blessed time together in your word. We do pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So if you have a handout, the title is Full of Care or Filled with Prayer. Are you full of care in your life or are you filled with prayer? There's a vast difference between the two. Because life itself brings a lot of cares, doesn't it? Life brings a lot of worry. It can bring worry with money, finances. It can bring worry with children, right? When your children are small and little, you're worried that they're going to choke on something or they're going to get into trouble, touch something they ought not touch. And then when they're teenagers, you're worried about the same things. I mean, you eat too much food too fast, don't choke. You know, or you're going to touch something you ought not touch. And life has a lot to worry about, maybe with a job or the lack of a job or a heartache or a pain, something that comes into your life, a loved one that's suffering a trial. There's just a lot of things to worry about. So are you filled with care this morning or are you filled with prayer? It's a blessing, again, to know that we have access to God. God, the creator of the universe, right? The God that spoke all the universe and this earth. He spoke these things into existence. And we have access to him through his son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So not only do we have access to God through Jesus Christ, we have boldness and we have confidence. And that is available to you this morning because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because Jesus shed his blood on the cross.
Amen.
you have access to God the Father, but you have boldness in life. You have boldness to witness, to talk to other people. You know, I'm a shy person and I don't know what to say. Well, pray. Are you full of care or are you full of prayer? And God will give you that boldness. You have that boldness through Jesus Christ. Romans tells us the same thing. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us, therefore being justified by faith. So through faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified before God the Father, right? You're not justified because of your good looks. Amen, right? Anyone here say that? You're not justified because of your bank account or what you've done in your life. Because you have a white picket fence and you live in America and you have 2.5 children and, you know, you have acreage or something. You're not justified by any of those things. You're justified by faith through Jesus Christ. And you also have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how those things come to you. If you're trying to find peace with God in your own strength, you're never going to find it. You're never going to find it. You will find yourself tripping over the circumstances of life because you're not trusting in the right source. Peace with God comes through Jesus Christ. For salvation, that's where it starts. Amen? You must be born again. Jesus said that. You must be born again. So Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then verse number 2 says, by whom also, by whom, who? Jesus. By Jesus Christ. So by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So it's through Jesus Christ that you have any hope in your life, that you have access to God, that you have righteousness with God, justification with God. All those things come through Jesus and Jesus alone. So something to remember. We are quite often in the Bible, because that's what we base our faith on, right? It's not a comic book. It's not a TV story. It's the Bible, the eternal and inerrant Word of God. And in God's Word, he calls upon us quite often to pray. So we saw that in Luke, men, what, ought always to pray, right? And Luke 21:36, Jesus tells us again, watch ye therefore and pray always. So Luke 21:36, there's an underlined, a blank there for you. Romans 12, verse number 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, continuing instant in prayer. Men ought always to pray. Therefore, pray always. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is applicable to all saints. Everyone in here today, that you ought always to be praying. You ought always to be in a heart attitude of prayer, praying always, instant in prayer, continuing instant in prayer. I mean, it's all through the Bible, amen? Praying always. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The more you pray, the more thankful you're going to be in your life. And then the more thankful that you are in your life, just the better attitude you have. You won't be walking around all gloomy. Oh, life is so treating me rough and things aren't going good. Well, how often, how much time are you spending in prayer? Because that's where thankfulness comes from. A relationship with God, it's not him talking to you all the time. It must include you talking to God. He created you and that's what he wants from you, right? When God put man in the Garden of Eden, what did he do with man? It said, in the cool of the day, God would walk and talk with Adam. And he wants that relationship with you. And he talks to you through his word. But throughout the New Testament, he tells us that we ought to be continuing in prayer and praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without what? Ceasing. Without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer as the end of the world approaches. Amen. Watch unto prayer. You better be praying more and more and more, because otherwise you're going to be full of care. You know, well, what's the stock market doing? Or, you know, what's Russia going to do? And what's China going to do? And I don't know, and neither do you. And why worry about it? You know, spend more time in this book and more time in prayer, and you're going to be less and less worried about the things that are going on in the world, and you're going to be better off for it. You're going to have a happy countenance. You're going to just have peace in your life. It's that relationship with Christ through prayer that brings that peace. We already read about that in Ephesians. So back to our text in Luke, Luke chapter 18. Jesus makes a statement here. So Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, we already read, he spake a parable unto them, unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Because, again, if you're full of cares, that's the result. That last word, faint. You ought to be praying so that you don't faint. Because when you're worried and you're overwhelmed with care and stress, you're going to faint. You're going to faint in life. It may not be a physical, you know, fall over, faint. But you're gonna faint. You're gonna find yourself without resolve, without strength to go on. You're going to find yourself with an attitude of I don't know what to do. But it's because you're too worried. You're too worried about it. You're filled with care, and you need to be filled with prayer. So Jesus' statement, ought always, that literally means should do at convenient and regular times. So men ought always to pray. That is something that you should do. You should do as a Christian. I should be doing this as a Christian at convenient and regular times. When he says ought always to pray and pray without ceasing, there are some instances in life where, you know, praying might be dangerous. You know, if you're at the range and you're, you know, praying with your eyes closed, that might be dangerous. If you're driving your car down the I-5, it's dangerous, you know, all by itself. It's dangerous. But if you're closing your eyes and praying, now you don't have to be closing your eyes to pray, right? You can speak to God at any time. But at convenient and regular times, that's the point. Do you pray regularly? Are you praying regularly? Or are you too worried? You're too full of care. Not faint. That word faint means to lose courage or spirit. You've lost your spirit. You've lost courage in life. It literally means to decline and to be troubled. So men ought always to pray at convenient and regular times so that we don't faint, so that we're not troubled, so that our spirit isn't depressed and overwhelmed. We're declined, troubled, faint. We ought not be living like that. We ought to be full of prayer instead. So verse number 2 through 5 of Luke chapter 18, let's read those. Because he's giving a parable here. He's saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So he didn't fear God, this judge. Sounds typical, right? But he also didn't regard man. You guys aren't with me on that. Okay. So he didn't fear God, but he didn't regard man. He didn't care about man. He had no concern for his fellow man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So she's asking this judge that doesn't care about God and doesn't care about man to avenge her of her adversary. So does he care about her? He doesn't care. He would not for a while, verse 4, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, I don't care about God, I don't care about man, I don't care what this lady's going through. Verse 5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. So because she's getting on my nerves, she's pestering me, she's troubling me, she won't be quiet, you know, she's continually letting me know her plea and her plight and her worries in life. So he says, therefore, I'm going to do what she's asking me to do. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. So he's an unjust judge, and we're not going to focus so much on what he's doing here, but Jesus does say, hear what he saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So the judge said, by her continually coming, and then Jesus said, we ought always to pray. Before this parable, Jesus says, or he spake a parable unto him, verse number 1, in this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. And then the story is, the lady comes to the judge, over and over and over, repeatedly, repeatedly, often. What does that sound like? Jesus says men ought always to pray. We ought to be going to God repeatedly, repeatedly, often, over and over and over. And Jesus is not trying to say that God is an unjust judge. He's not making that correlation. But he is saying that men ought always to pray. You ought to come to God repeatedly and over, just like the song. Don't ever give up. Just pray. Yeah. Well, it seems like it's about time for me to give up, you know? No, don't ever give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Pray until you hear clearly from God what he wants you to do. So in verse number 7 and 8, again, the avenging isn't the focus for today, but the continuously crying out to the judge along with the thought of men ought always to pray. That's what we're focusing on today. We are encouraged in the scriptures to come to God in prayer, and then Jesus teaches us that we ought to be approaching to God in prayer day and night. It's all through the Bible. Day and night, continually, without ceasing. Don't stop. Men ought always to pray. But at the end, in verse number 8 of Luke chapter 18, he asks a question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So Jesus' question there. He asks if he's going to find faith on the earth when he comes. So this lesson today is in a series of lessons that I taught in Olympia. And this is just part of the huge topic of prayer, right? You can talk about prayer for weeks and weeks and weeks. But there are some things that go hand in hand with your prayer time. And faith is one of those things. Jesus asks the questions, when I come back, when I return, am I going to find faith on the earth? So men ought always to pray. Will I find faith on the earth? Faith is something that goes hand in hand with men ought always to pray, with your ability to get over the cares and the concerns and the troubles of the earth. It's not found in your power and in your might. It's found in God's power, in his strength, in his might, in his ability to work through you and through your situation. But your part is prayer and faith. They go hand in hand together. They must be joined together. My prayers to God with a heart of faith. Jesus asked, will I find faith? And he started out by saying, men ought always to pray. Let's go to Philippians 4 and chapter 4 and verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 are our other text for this morning. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen? Prayer, thanksgiving, they go hand in hand, faith and prayer. Men ought always to pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. And then the result of that, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. The peace of God that passes understanding. So the scientist cannot study enough time to figure out where the peace of God comes from, but the Bible plainly tells us that it's through prayer, it's through Jesus Christ, that you're going to have understanding beyond comprehension, that passes on, it, or you're going to have peace, I'm sorry, that passes understanding beyond that comprehension, and your mind is going to be kept stable and secure and at peace and at rest, overtaken with stress and fear and anxiety and the chaos that surrounds us in our days. It's that peace of God that comes from a heart of prayer through relationship with God with prayer. And then he says, be careful for nothing. So the word careful, it means troubled or anxious. It's not saying, don't care about anything. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, I want you to be callous and cold and nothing will affect me because I do not care about anything or anyone. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, be careful, filled with care, filled with trouble. Don't let stress overwhelm you. Don't be overcome with heartaches and burdens and depression. Be full of care. Don't let your care tank, your overwhelmed, troubled tank be full. That's the one tank in life that you should keep empty. Your stress tank, your fear tank. It should be empty because Jesus says, be careful for nothing. There is much to care about in life, right? God, family, Friends, there's the what ifs. How many people have a what if come into your life once a week? You know, maybe once a month, right? Maybe every time you lay your head down at night, all you can think about is the what ifs, right? I don't know anyone like that, but the what ifs, like, man, something almost happened to my child. They were driving, and a semi was in the lane next to him, and the front tire exploded. And what if that semi? Well, it didn't happen, right? Don't live in the what ifs. That's being filled with care that you can do nothing about. Jesus tells us to have a sound mind. He didn't come to give us fear. He came to give us a sound mind, and that comes through prayer, a relationship with Him, reading your Bible, studying the Bible. So be careful for nothing. It's not saying, or it is saying, be filled with prayer and not overwhelmed with the cares of life. I want to go to Daniel chapter number 3. Let's go back to Daniel, Old Testament, right after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter number 3. And here's a wonderful example of people that live this out. Because sometimes it's easy for a pastor or someone to present a lesson or preach on a topic in the Bible, and they say, this is what you ought to do. Now, have fun. You know, like, good luck. You know, go and figure out how to do it. But when we have examples in the Word of God that show us what it looks like to do exactly what we're talking about, I find that helpful. Amen? So Daniel chapter number 3 and verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. So this man had the power to remove the heads of these Hebrew children, right? He was the man in charge. He had the power to throw them in the lion's den or do whatever he wanted with them. He had the power to have these people executed, and he was in a rage and in fury. So he was not having a good morning, right? He didn't wake up on the right side of the bed. You could say he was just not having a good day. He was filled with rage, filled with fury. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they disobeyed his commandment. When the music plays, everyone's going to bow down to the golden idol which I have created, and they did not do that. So verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that, or do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Verse number 16 now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not, what's that next word? Careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. O king, get as angry and as upset as you want, but we serve a God that is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. But then they add something, verse 18, but if not, we have to live in reality sometimes, right? King, you have the power to throw us in the furnace. You have the power to execute us and kill us, and we are going to obey God, and he is able to deliver us. But if he chooses not to, verse 18, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, how are these young men able to speak this truth to the ruler of the nation, to the most powerful man on earth? How are they able to do that? It's because in verse number 16, it said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They studied with Daniel, and they knew about God. But they didn't just know about God. They knew God, and they walked with God. And they communicated with God in prayer, and they knew the scriptures. They studied the Old Testament, the scriptures, with Daniel. And they knew this God. And they had great occasion to fear and to be filled with care and to be overwhelmed and to be worried and to have their fingernails bitten up, right? That's what you do when you're worried and you're scared. Some people bite their fingernails and they're getting overwhelmed and stressed out and life isn't going the way that they thought it was going to go. But this was not the case for them. They are not careful. They were not troubled. They were not anxious. They were not filled up with the cares of the world. They had a peace of God. The peace of God. That's one of the blanks there. They had the peace of God because they had an everything by prayer life. They practiced men ought always to pray. That was the life that they were living. They were living out what we're talking about here this morning. And that alone is what caused them to say, we are not careful, O King. You have the power to kill us. But we're not going to let that stop us from obeying God and from doing what is right. John 14 and verse 27, Jesus told us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus said, I'm going to die on the cross, and I'm going to be leaving, but I'm going to leave you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to indwell you as a believer, as a child of God. The Holy Spirit indwells us, comes inside of us, and Jesus said, him I'm going to leave with you, and I'm not going to give you peace as the world giveth. The world gives peace, but it's not lasting. It's not sustaining. It can't carry you through your days and through your difficult times, the loss of a loved one. The world doesn't know that kind of peace. The world, you ask them what's going to happen when you die, they don't know. I don't know. Nothing. Well, that's hopeless, right? What's the point of living if there's nothing when we die? There's no meaning to what you do now. There's no joy. There's no comfort. The world can't offer those things. Living, going to a job, living until you're a ripe old age, and then passing off the scene and being buried, and then what? There's no hope. There's no peace. That's the peace that the world gives. Exactly. It doesn't have. There is no peace. But Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because the peace that Christ offers us is a peace that is greater than your trouble. It is a peace that is bigger than what overwhelms you and what burdens you today. The peace that Jesus offers is a strength and a peace that the world does not know. And it is necessary for us to be men and women of prayer so that we can have that peace that Jesus leaves with us. The less time you spend in prayer, the less likely it is that you're going to have that peace when trouble comes your way. Because something's going to hit you, and it might hit you harder than anything that has hit you before, and you will not have that peace because you have no relationship with God. You don't know how to talk to him. If you're always talking to him, you're going to know how to talk to him. And when some troublesome event comes your way, you're still going to know how to talk to God. And you're going to know that he's got it in control. He's our heavenly Father. Amen? Right. And when you're with your Father, there's no event that is bigger than your dad, right? When you're like 6 years old, that's what every five-year-old thinks, right? My dad is the strongest, and he can beat up your dad, and my dad, you know, nothing's going to happen to me because my dad will take care of me. And that's how kids think, right? And he's our heavenly Father. Do you think of your heavenly Father that way? Maybe not with the Mickey Mouse voice, but that he is able to take care of you and to sustain you when you're not able to do that. I don't know my future. I don't know what's going to happen 5 years from now. Or my loved one's in pain and they're dying. They have cancer. And I don't know what's going to happen, but God does. God does know. And you can be like these Hebrew children. We're not going to be filled with care. We are not careful to answer thee, Nebuchadnezzar. Or you can be overwhelmed with the cares and the troubles of the world. There is nothing in this world that will offer you peace, but prayer will offer you peace. And when you spend more time in prayer, you're going to have a greater fellowship and communion with God, your Father, and you'll have that peace. I heard this next saying from Pastor Tim years and years ago. Anything worth worrying about is certainly worth praying about. Anything worth worrying about, it's certainly worth praying about, because praying about it is going to do you a whole lot more good than worrying about it. Worrying about it is going to lead to gray hair, right? Worrying about it will lead to wrinkles. And, you know, those things are going to come anyhow, right? Let's be honest. But worrying about it leads you to an early grave. It leads you to higher blood pressure. It leads you to medication. It leads you to maybe medication for mental anxiety and stress and depression. Does that sound fun to anybody? It doesn't sound fun to me. That's what worrying about things leads to, though. But praying about situations will lead to the peace of God taking over and giving you a sound mind. That's what God wants, right? To us to have a sound mind. He did not come to give us fear. Jesus didn't make us to fear. He made us to have a sound mind. But it's only available, again, through Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? That's where the sound mind comes from. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you don't have that sound mind. You don't have access to it. And if you don't know God through a working relationship, a talking relationship, if I never talk to my son and he never talked to me, then how good is our relationship going to be? Like, right? It's not going to be good at all. In order to have a relationship with my son, a relationship with my spouse, with my children, with church members, with fellow church members, you have to talk to one another, right? Otherwise, hey, you've been coming to church for 5 months and I don't know your name because I never talked to you. That's not a relationship, right? You have to get to know each other, talk to one another. And it's the same thing with God. He has peace. It's his, but it's available to you. But it's only through Jesus. And if you're not spending time talking to Jesus, you don't have that peace. It's not there. E.M. Bounds said this: there is more there is more you can do after you pray, but there is nothing you can do until you pray. Another man said it this way: when you work, but when you pray, God works. So there is more you can do after you pray, but there is really nothing you can do until you pray. Because until you pray, until you're spending time with the Creator of the universe, your natural tendency in your brain is going to be fear, is going to be worry. That's automatically where we go. More often than not, something bad happens, I start to worry. Some trouble comes into my life, I start to stress. I start to feel anxiety. I can't sleep at night. You know, I'm worried about my kids, or worried about something going on in church, or something at work, or I've lost my job. And your natural tendency is to start being overwhelmed, being tense, right? Your muscles are tense, your neck is sore, you have a headache. Yeah, all those things come because you haven't spent time in prayer. When you pray, close your eyes and think about who you're talking to. You're talking to the Creator of the universe, the one that let you wake up this morning. And if he let you wake up this morning and some trouble comes into your life, do you think he wants to just, you know, have fun? Here's a little trouble for you today. Hope you learn something from it. No, he let you wake up. He gave you breath this morning, and he wants you, as your heavenly Father, to talk to him. Talk to him about it, because he has the answer. You don't have the answer, but he already has the answer. And approach God that way. There's nothing too big for you. I was discouraged when no answer came. You know, there's trouble in my life. But then I remembered, I have a heavenly Father who loves me. And because of Jesus Christ, I have access to God the Father. Amen. That's who Jesus prayed to, Father, Abba, Father, God, Father, Heavenly Father, you have that same access to Him. But if I like that statement, when you work, you work. If you're trying to work out your circumstances, that's you working them out. If you're worried about your troubles and your circumstances in life, that's you doing the work. But when you pray, then God works. God takes over, and He can work through you, and He will help you through it. So you see, our trouble is that we wait until we are in trouble before we pray. And this is what makes you filled up with care. You're filled with care instead of filled with prayer, because you've waited until you are in trouble until you've prayed. And life is not meant to go that way. God wants you to commune with Him and to fellowship with Him and to walk with Him and talk with Him. And He wants your blood pressure to be lower. He wants you to be able to calm down and to relax. You know that trust fall thing, right? My youngest daughter is always asking me, Dad, do a trust fall, do a trust fall. And I'm not going to do it because I don't want to hurt myself. But that's what God wants from you. He wants you to fall back into His arms each and every day, and that's what your time in prayer is. It shouldn't be something that, well, I've checked it off the list, you know? Did I pray today? Yep. Did I read my Bible today? Yep. I'm doing good as a Christian. Yep. Look at me. No. God wants you to spend time with Him, to fall back into His arms, because He's bigger than you are. Amen? He's stronger than you are. He knows more than you know. And He is the only one that has the ability to get you through your circumstance, to navigate through that trial. You don't have the infinite knowledge and wisdom that God has. He wants you to rely on Him and to trust in Him and to fall back into His arms, because He cares for you. We ought always to pray, because we have a Father who loves us and cares for us. So don't wait until you're in trouble to pray, because it's honestly almost too late. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, right? But start where you are now and build a life of prayer, a deeper prayer life, a more time of fellowship with God. It will help you, and it will help you navigate through those times of trouble. So my question to you is, are you full of care today, or are you going to start being filled with prayer? Which one best describes you? I've been overwhelmed. I've been stressed in my life. Or, you know what? I have been doing better in my prayer life, and I notice that things go better when I pray more, and that my day goes better. Which one are you today? Let's close in prayer. Father, I'm thankful, God, for the people that are here. I'm so glad that they're faithfully coming to church, Lord. I'm thankful for everyone that's here today. And Lord, I don't know who might have needed this message, Lord. I just know that it's what You've guided me to do. And Father, I pray that it would be a blessing to people. And God, that we would be able to start now, where we are now, not compare ourselves to someone else, but Lord, just start where we are and have a better walk with You and a better prayer life. God, I pray that we would be able to make decisions for You today, Lord. So we pray along those lines. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the instruments start to play, I just would like to invite you to come to the altar and start that better prayer life. Is there something that you're worried about in your life personally? Something that's too big for you, and something that's stressing you out? And that's what this altar is for, to come and to cast those cares upon Jesus, because He cares for you, and He wants to take those burdens from you. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anyone that would like to come and pray, we're going to take a couple minutes to do that. And then if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I really want to encourage you to make that known today. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Start that walk and that relationship with God. That's where it starts, by asking Christ to save you from your sins. So let's pray together. Mm-hmm.